I actually got a shadow like that. Somebody wanted to know, halacha lemaisa, that he's having Zoom meetings with his boss, etc. The boss tends to drone on and on and on. Can he be busy with some type of a electronic device in his lap while the boss is doing that, because the boss can't see what he's doing? Is that a problem of Gnevus Das, etc.? So that's not the topic of the Shmooze today, but Al Kabonim. So if you want to do that, you'll have to find out, ask a halachic shayla whether that's acceptable or not. Okay, so what I want to talk about today is something I've been thinking about over last week's parsha and continuing into this week's parsha, but also in the whole situation right now, is this world that we find ourselves in, that we are in quarantines or semi-quarantines, and we're by ourselves. And the question is, how does the Torah look at that? How does the Torah look at that? Now, like anything we've spoken about many times, there are always going to be positive and negatives. So when you go to hear a shmooze about how important it is to think before you do something, there's also shmuz about the zrizus and getting things done. Both of them are going to be true. And when the Rebbe is discussing a shmuz about the importance of taking your time to figure something out, that he's stressing that point. The next week's shmuz will be about the point about making sure you don't take too long, etc. But you only hear the one shmuz, so you walk away thinking that's all there is to the whole thought process. That's obviously incorrect. So that's not the point. The point over here is that there are both sides, but I want to bring out the both sides because I think we haven't really thought about both sides too well. So in last week's parsha, we find about the Metzara, or actually, Tazria and Metzara, but in Tazria, that the Metzara is Barad Yeshiv Mechutz L'Machaneh Moshavo. He's placed Barad. So we would obviously sort of assume that this state of being Barad is a negative thing. He's sent outside of the Machaneh, he's all by himself, he's in isolation, he's lonely, and that seems to be described as a very, very sad state to be. Echa Yashva Bodod. The Yesha Bodod Vayidoim Kinotal, right? So we have these sukkim and Echa, we're talking about the day of being Bodod, and it's described as a negative state. Vayishkar and Yisrael Betach Bodod. Hein Am Levodod Yishkoin. Hashem Barod Yen Chenu. Those are not negatives. Those are very positive. We find that Barod can mean something which describes a unique, special status of being by ourselves. And there's nobody with us. And if Barod always has a negative connotation, that the Torah should choose the word Barod to be the description of how Klai Yisrael is the unique nation amongst the nations, Hashem Barod Yen Chenu, or Heim Am Levadod Yishkoin, would be an interesting usage. We would assume that that's not correct. So it seems to me that that state of Bodod does not only have to be negative. Mesil Sesharim in Perek Tesvav in Precious talks about something which called his Bodus, that there's a mile of being misbodeid, being in a state of isolation, being by yourself. The most precious element that a person has in his repertoire, bringing himself to the madrega of precious, which is a madrega of chassidus, is to be misbodeid. He takes himself out of the world. And David HaMelech says, as a pasuk in Tehillim, "Mi itin le'ever kayona ufa veshkayna ne'archik nedoid olim b'midbor sel." David HaMelech says, "I would like to go away, be by myself, leave everybody alone, and I could be away from all of the negative influences which exist in the world." Ranavim, Eliyahu Elisha, Mitzon Hayosim Miachdim Mekaymim Alahorim, in the Hispadadusim, they used to go out into the mountains. Vachachom Chasidim Rishonim. They found a way to do this, and they were misbodeid. So the state of being misbodeid is a positive thing. If you follow the Breslover, Reb Nachman was one of his big nakudas, was his bodeidus. Depending on whether you're if you're a neo chassid, you say he bodeidot, right? And if you're it was a guy from Brooklyn, he's boidedus, however you want to say it, right? But we seem to describe this as a positive thing, being misboided. Rabbi Tversky says a story about himself, which is a very sad story, but he writes it about himself. So I guess in a book, so I was just to repeat it. He talks about his discussion, and his discussion, we've spoken multiple times, is they have low self-esteem, that we tend to define ourselves by how people around us define us. And therefore, if in a world where we tend to do that, so being all by ourselves, when nobody's defining us, is very difficult. So he was in a situation where he was overworked. He was, I actually once took an individual to meet with him in his position. He was the head of the psychiatric department of a major hospital in Pittsburgh. Plus he ran his own program. Plus he was writing his books. And he was speaking, a big worldwide speaker, etc. At one point he was overwhelmed by it. He needed to relax a little bit. So he went to, there was some place where they had a program, would you go there in some type of a spa situation with these hot baths, and he felt it would be very, very positive, very relaxing for himself. So he goes there, and he goes into the bath, and after 15 minutes, his muscles start to relax, and he feels so much better. He says to the attendant, I'm ready to leave. The attendant says, no, I'm sorry, you can't leave. You have to stay, for this thing to work, you have to stay for a whole hour. And he describes this, and he says that by the end of the hour, he was a total nervous wreck. Being all by himself for an hour was something which he couldn't handle. He could not handle being by himself for an hour. See, he had gotten to a state where his in life and his definition of himself was so based on interfacing with other people that he could not deal with being by himself for a period of time. An hour. And I would suggest that many of us have this challenge as well. If you ask me what I think the biggest challenge of the internet is, you don't need me to tell you that, you know, there's inappropriate things that a person can look at or get involved in on the internet. You don't need me to figure that out. You don't need rocket science to figure that out. That a person can get addicted to it and spend too much time on it, you also don't need me to figure out. But what one of the milest of the world of social media and the computer is the ability to be connected to other people. It's a tremendous thing to be able to be connected to other people. It also means that people have lost the ability to be by themselves. They feel uncomfortable being by themselves. Dr. David Pelkowitz says over a study, so you can't make this stuff up. Like it belongs in the world of science fiction. It says over this study about this they wanted to study, you know, in the world of psychology, understand this idea of how people relate to being by themselves without any stimulus for a period of time, how they would deal with it. So the study starts with asking people how much money, how would they deal with physical electric shock? Would they be comfortable with that idea, etc.? How much would they... So they basically came out with almost all the participants of the study said they'd rather pay money than not have to receive a physical electric shock. They then took these people, put them into a room all by themselves without any type of devices, anything, for 15 minutes. And they told them that during the 15 minutes, if you have a buzzer, which you can press it, and it will give yourself an electric shock. Okay, so... Instead of just being by yourself, you can do something. Something. 67% of the men pushed the buzzer at least once during the process and gave them a level of physical shock, which was actually painful, and only 25% of the women. So first of all, it tells you a little bit about how crazy men are, right, compared to women. So if you're in the world of Shaduchim, you'll understand why women make so much more sense when they come to me with their issues by after a date than when the Bachurim do sometimes. But... That's a scary study. We can't be with ourselves for 15 minutes. You know, Rabbi Tversky is talking about an hour. We are uncomfortable being ourselves for 15 minutes. And I think that is the result of what has happened with the world of the internet. I was thinking about the Mitzvah, and it seems to me that maybe the Pshat in the Mitzvah that he sent out to be by himself for 7 days, it's not a punishment. It is a chance to remove all distractions. They didn't have, you know, he's sitting all by himself. He's not allowed to have anybody near him. Anyone comes near him, he has to send them away. and he sits in this Malkum Hesker for 7 days, and he thinks. So after the first day or two of being feeling, you know, all of these negative emotions, he's going to get out of his system, and he's going to say, you know, like, okay, so who am I? What am I? What do I want out of life? How much have I accomplished in my life? What I like to accomplish in my life? And it's forcing him to be with himself. That's not a punishment. It is a process of correction. The prisons like to call themselves houses of correction. Even study after study indicates that they end up correcting nothing. Most people end up being repeat offenders. But the Torah is giving you a form of correction which forces the person to stop and think, what am I doing? That's the first thought that I had. Taking it a step weiter, we spoke about this once, and I doubt there's anybody here in the group, maybe Yonatan, who remember what I said. And Yonatan, since he's muted, he can't tell you that, you know, he already heard it. So the Mishnah says, "Hakina b'tayv v'kavod masinas adam min ha'olam." That kino, time, and kavod take the person out of the world. So Rebbe says a beautiful thought. He says, out of what world are we being taken out of? He says, we're taking out of the world which is inside of ourselves. If you look at the three things which the Mishnah talks about, what is kino? It's a kino who's a person who's not comfortable with who he is, and he's busy looking what everybody else has, and he's jealous. So he's, instead of looking inside of himself and seeing what value he has, the world inside of himself, he's busy looking outwards at everybody else. Taiva is clearly he's desiring something outside of himself. And kavod, you know, which we seen with kavod together with gaiva, kavod is something with gaiva. Kavod is recognition of value. Rav Hirsch talks about this idea, and we spoke about this multiple times. The desire for kavod is the desire to feel that you're valuable. Well, where do you get your value from? People tell you that you're valuable. You feel valuable. What if nobody tells you that you're valuable? Do you feel valuable? Do you feel good about yourself even without anybody complimenting you? Or even anybody noticing you? Or anybody caring about you? Can you find inside of yourself an intrinsic value because the Kodesh Baruch Hu created you? By definition, you're valuable. Or do we only get our value because I interface with guys and guys, I know the guys like me and I get constant feedback, positive feedback. Now I feel good about myself. Now I feel valuable. Nobody wants to feel that he's not valuable. Reb Klotzke Levenstein I heard this from somebody whose father was in the mirror in Shanghai. He said, Reb Klotzke once said a lashon, he says, every person needs a spoonful of kavod every day. It's not a negative thing. Everybody needs to know that they're valuable. A person thinks he has zero value to offer the world. He's totally worthless. Will kill himself. Like, get out of the world already. What are you here for? But nobody, and it's an extremely uncomfortable state to be. So what's the solution? Either find it inside of yourself or get it from everybody around you. So kavod is the process of trying to get people to like you, respect you, comment about you, give you feedback, make you feel good about yourself. So these three things all share in common that you're looking outwards and not inwards. Matzinas adam min ha'olam. What's fascinating is that the state of being, of being able to be positive with other people, requires this. The Ramban says that the mitzvah v'ahavta recha kamoicha is really the mitzvah lois achmar. Don't be jealous of other people. When I feel good about myself, I mamash really feel good about myself, I can look out at the world in an eye and say, you know what, I'm happy for you too. But when I don't feel good about myself, how in the world am I supposed to feel good about you? Right? The Ramban says, I should want for others the same level of kavod, the same level of wealth, the same level of success with their children, the same level of everything that I have. Well, if I define myself as being valuable because I'm better than somebody else, because they have more fame or more money or something else, so how in the world would I want that for you? Not because I'm a bad person. I just can't live like that. I can't live without the air that I breathe that says that I'm valuable. But I measure my value compared to you. So I have nothing against you. I can't want for you as much as I want for myself. But the Ramban says on the mitzvah of Havdol Chamurcha is I should want for you everything just like I have for myself. How is that possible? He said, that's the mitzvah of kina. It's overcome the mitzvah of kina. And that's not a Ramban, it's a Medrash. There's beautiful medrash on the parsha. The medrash says that the Kedoshim Rashi said was Sefer HaKel because Rav Gufei Torah are mentioned in it. So the medrash says all of the Sefer Dibros are found in parsha's Kedoshim. Says Anoch Hashem Lokecha, says Ani Hashem Lokechem. It says that Lo Yilucha. It says you shouldn't make Elohim Asecha. Lo Sisa Lo Sabish Mila Shoker Shabbos Kibud Aveim Lo Sirtzach Lo Tamal Briecha. Where do you have Lo Sachbud? We have to make a Kamoicha. So that's a Beferisha. That's a beferish medrash that v'haftu kamoicha and l'sach would go together. What is the root of lashon hara? So there's a beautiful shloka kaddish. The shloka kaddish says that the problem with lashon hara, we always think the problem with lashon hara is the idea that I'm saying negative about other people. It's a bit on the chavera. He said that's not the problem because the Torah described it as loyselich rachav amecha. Rashi says what happens? I go to house A to be nosy and see what's going on over there. And then share it elsewhere. So where's the root of the problem? Why are you nosy? Why are you nosing into somebody else's business? Why is that your focus? Why is that your interest? A person who's an olam mole, he's full inside of himself, he's not walking around feeling negative about himself, he doesn't need to look about anybody else. I want to be aware of what's happening with you because that I need to be able to help you and care about you, etc. But that my goal and my purpose is to be focused on your life. Why? What am I doing? Why am I focused? So the root of the Isra of Lashon Hara, the Shloka Kodesh says, it starts in the L'Sel Rechav Amecha, in the fact that you've had the wrong focus. The next step is automatic. Once that's the reality, how do I get my feelings of being good about myself? Well, I'm better than you. How do I make sure that I'm better than you? Because I tell everybody else how I'm better than you, because you do X and I don't do X. So what do we do with this Baal Lashon Hara? We take him, we send him outside of the Machane. And we force him to focus only on himself because there's nothing else he can focus on. We force him for 7 days to stop it and be all by himself and just learn to stop focus defining himself by other people because there's nobody to define himself by. So for the first 3 days, 2 days, he'll bang his head against the wall for all I care because he can't deal with this idea of being all by himself. Because he, till now, has always defined himself against other people or by other people or the feedback from other people, etc. And here he now, he's sent into his corner and he comes out after 7 days, hopefully, with a better feeling about himself. So now he's not about Lashon Hara anymore. I have no need. So the Zohar says that the root of the problem, the Kohen looks and it says it's Amoik Min Ha'or. That the Saras is it on the surface or is it deep inside? Is it deep down? So that's the problem. Inside, he's not healthy. So sometimes the Kohen says, you know, it's just on the surface. He's really basically healthy inside and he tripped up. That's not Saras. That you don't need an isolation for. You don't need that process for that. But there's a guy who it's deep inside of him. He's not healthy. So Rebbe writes a fascinating thing. He says in Chelek Aleph, he has the three Mechtabim. One of the Mechtabim writes about Kino. He says, one of the challenges of dormitory life is this problem. The guy goes to yeshiva, and he sits in your base medrash. So he sits in base medrash, and there's one guy who's a bigger lamda than him. There's another guy who's a bigger bucky than him. There's another person who's a bigger balchesed than him. Another person who's a better davener than him. Another person who is catches on much more quickly. There's another fellow who remembers things better. Like after a while, Pashat eats away at you. Rekav Atzamas Kina. He says, your Atzamas is gone. You don't feel anything good about yourself. I mentioned to you once, I said that, you know, that the Rosh created a solution for this problem. It's called the Jewish mother, right? So the guy goes out to the street, you know, and he sees everybody's better than him. And he comes back home and his mother says, ah, my uncle, God's gift to mankind. There's nobody better than my uncle, right? So hopefully you hear it enough times, you start believing it. And you start absorbing that there's nobody better than you. You're perfect. You know, to you and your creator, you got to work things out. Because, you know, there's things you got to work on. But why, you're not defining yourself by anybody else. There's no need to define yourself by anybody else. So the fact that, but you live in the dorm situation, you're always with other people, you're going to end up losing this nakuda. So I've been thinking about this state which we're in. And I think that the state which we're in is a state where we are given a tremendous opportunity to force to work on defining ourselves without the interface And of course, a person has an option to try and make sure he has constant interface to get away from that discomfort of being all by himself. So he has that option. But the Rosh Hashanah is sort of forcing us to move into our isolation, into our corner, not as a punishment, but as an opportunity for tikkun. Where the Rosh Hashanah apparently was a rest of a chassid, and he wants us all of us to go into his bodenus, right? So he sent this. He didn't send us to the mountains, you know, but he sent us to our little corner, our little vinkel. And are you comfortable there? Can you be comfortable sitting by yourself and not getting out, etc.? Now, yes, there's clearly a social component which defines mankind. There's an awesome introduction to the Sefer Truma Sakri. Truma Sakri was the Ksois's brother, and in the beginning of the Sefer, he writes that he's snotsless. He sort of excuses why he's writing the Sefer, like, who am I to write a Sefer? Like, publishing a Sefer, like who am I to write such a thing? So he says a fascinating language. He says, a person could go up into Shemayim, and the Bereshit will show him the Maris Elokim. He'll be shown Maisim Merkava. And he'll get to see everything. His Hano will not be total until he comes back down to this world and he tells somebody else about it. The Rosh Hashanah made our nature that our Hanoah is to share with somebody else. Our Hanoah is to connect. So that's an intrinsic element of who a human being is, that he needs the ability to connect to others as well. But the Rosh Hashanah, whatever reason is right now, is taking that away from us. So I think we're living in a society where this is what you see in the general secular society is paralleled in the Yiddish society to some extent as well. In the general secular society, you have people that their whole definition is what other people think about them. And it's called actors and actresses. And, you know, all the entertainers of the world, their whole definition is based on constant feedback about being positive. People think that they're good. And they cannot deal with people who are negative to them. And you see that they lash out and they respond. All these different things. What's the problem? You have a speaker will speak. And 15 people are present in the speech, right? And 14 will say it was a geshmak and drasha, and one will say, I didn't like it. So what do you walk away with? How do you feel good? The guy said he didn't like it. He's eating me up. Like 14 people said it was good. Why do we tend to? Because we cannot deal with one person saying negative about us. The Miri says that a person who's right after COVID is an Oveh Vedazara. He's bowing down to every single human being in the world, because every human being in the world is his source of power. They're giving him COVID by saying he's valuable. And when they say he's not valuable, it hurts him. So he's forced to bow down to every single human being in the world. Every human being in the world becomes his Getchka. So he's the worst of Oveh Vedazara in the world, he says. Oveh Vedazara bows down to one Getchka, to two Getchkas. This guy bows down to 7.5 billion people. Because we're living in a society which it constantly defines himself. And that's why you have these people, they have to constantly post about themselves on the social media. And they wait for everybody's likes. And they cannot deal with the dislikes. And that's the secular society. And Baruch Hashem, we're not like that. But a certain amount, the total society is a reflection of what's going on inside of ourselves to some extent as well. So the Baruch Hashem is offering us a tikkun. The Rav Volba has a beautiful language that he wrote a sefer called Or LaShov, which is printed now together with in the sefer Elam HaYedidus. But they translated one section of it, Or LaShov, was translated by Feldheim. As far as I know, it's the only piece from Rav Volba which is translated. This was translated in 1983. So it's this nice little sefer over here called Pathways. So he writes the following nusach. He says, prayer. He's writing to a non-frum person trying to describe what tefillah is. Achieving unity of heart with the creator of the world. To speak with him as one speaks with a friend who listens and pays attention. All around me, noise, cars, planes, radio. He didn't have TV even. Inside me, troubles, business, quarrels, competition, desires, hobbies. Suddenly, stillness. As if the world was all about me, were silent. The current is cut off. I am praying. That's his definition of tefillah. Tefillah is an act of his prodigies. Tefillah is an act of being, going into yourself, between you and your creator, and nobody else knows what's going on over there, and it's nobody else's business, and you're talking to your creator, and you're shutting everything else out. Morale writes that this is Shabbos. Morale says that Shabbos is a period of 25 hours, which is prayer. He writes prayer is, tefillah is Shabbos. In the Sivat Tefillah, he writes that tefillah, you stand still, means you have no power, you're not going anywhere. You hold your hands together, means you have no power to do anything. You talk quietly, you're basically cut off from the rest of the world. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is a form of cutting off the rest of the world and allowing yourself to go inside of yourself, being with yourself, by yourself, being with yourself for a period of time, and being comfortable with that. So, it's the tikkun for the Metzara is this process of being forced to be by themselves and learning to be comfortable with that, learning to relish that. So Rebbe writes a lashon. The Mishnah says this week is Perek Gimel, this coming Shabbos. Haner b'layla v'amahalach b'derech yichidi. Person who is awake at night, or a person is traveling by himself. Mafana liba lavatala, and he turns his time to wasteful things. Reza mischai benafshar. So it sounds terrible. Like, what did he do? Haloya shor kazois, he ace rotsin. It's an opportunity to have some time with yourself. You're finally not being distracted. You're finally not having other people bothering you. You're all by yourself. Nobody's up. Nobody's available. You're on the road all by yourself. What do? Mafanas libra levatola. Hareza mechiech she'en loy esek im atzmoy. Ve'en ze olam shu'or lemole. He's pushing empty inside. He cannot be with himself by himself. He cannot use opportunity to stop and to think about what's important to him, what he wants to accomplish in life, what he's done until now. Trying to think about his relationships. Are they healthy? They're not healthy. How could he be a better son? How could he be a better chaver? How could he take help? He's not using it for anything. He's just like, no. I understand the need to have time downtime. I mean, we're not denigrating that, right? But there's also this time where you get a chance to push it, be by yourself. I met some of you will listen to the. Chalamoid. I said, I'm embarrassed to say this, you know, to some extent, but my first day's Pesach, there was an element of, I mean, before Pesach was crazy busy. I was on there was being bombarded with shilas, and some of them were hard shilas I had to work on, and you know, they're just, but the amount of time, I had no rest before Pesach. It was very busy. The combination of a lot of people making Pesach for the first time, and a combination of the situation with all of his interesting shilas. It came Yom Tov. I had no shirim to deal with. I had almost no shilas. I had like three people knocked on the door over Yom Tov. And I had a chance to take out a Sefer on Amunah, which I wanted to go through. And I went through 150 pages of the Sefer. I had time to push it, do something I wanted to do, introspect and think about where I'm holding in my emunah, and there's a sefer which I think would be helpful to me, and see what he has to say about it. And my davening was better. I had a nice slow davening. You know, I think the Shiva davening is too fast for me. I'm a Baal Tshuva, but I can't read so fast, you know that. And it was a chance to enjoy davening, savor the davening. I'm not racing against anybody. There's nobody defining my speed but me. If my davening is good, it's my business. If my davening wasn't good, there's nobody to blame. It wasn't the guy next to me davening too loud. It wasn't the fact that the chazan was too fast. It wasn't because there's no excuse. It's all about me. I have to be honest. It's inside of me. And I spoke to multiple people who told me that their davening is better davening now because I've had time to be allow them just to sort of be present in their davening. So the Maharal Sadi calls this mindfulness, to be present in the reality. But we're adding another nakuda, that's what isolation offers you. It's not isolation in the sense of loneliness. It's isolation in the sense of being comfortable being with yourself. And I think that's a tremendous opportunity for tikkun that Rosh Hashanah is giving us. And we should be zoicha that if we do it right, so the Metzora comes and the nega inside of himself is removed. And like the Bali Kabbalah say, that the nega becomes oinig. Then when you correct that, and you feel comfortable with yourself, and you're able to correct that, so you feel a tremendous pleasure of that tikkun, because it's the tikkun of being with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, being closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, seeing his presence around you. Last thought I'll leave you with, you know that those who have seen me recently, you know, I've been having problems. I have arthritis that developed in my hip, specifically my right hip more than my left hip, and I've been walking very slowly. And you know that I usually walk pretty fast, or I used to. The world is so beautiful. You push enough time to notice the world. Like, I take a walk on Shabbos, or take a walk every day after trying to get a walk. I can't go too fast. I can't, whether I like it or not. I can't deal with the pain. I have to go slowly. And as I'm going slowly, you notice the trees. You notice the birds. You notice the color of the sky. You notice all these things. You're pushing, cutting off from all the distractions and actually being present in the reality which the Rosh Hashanah put you in. And that's a tremendous opportunity which I think the Rosh Hashanah is giving us in this matzav of isolation. Okay.